God, make your word alive now. Let us understand it. Guide us by your Spirit. And pray we're excited about it, Lord. And leave here sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The message today is from shame to sharing. From shame to sharing. Jesus, as we read, was on his way to Galilee from Judea. He goes through Samaria, which we've covered. Not the normal way to go to Galilee for the Jews because they hated the Samaritans. They went through a longer way just to avoid them. Thank God Jesus doesn't hate anyone. Thank God that he loves everyone. The outcasts, the downtrodden, the people that aren't like us, all sinners. Jesus loves all. There's not a person on earth that the Lord doesn't love. Jesus runs into this Samaritan woman when they get into a conversation concerning thirst. Water. He was thirsty. And it was about physical thirst at first, but the conversation turns to spiritual thirst. Because Jesus knows what the woman needs. Life. Real life. And real life is only found in Jesus. The Samaritan woman has not led a very good life. No doubt the people in town where she lived were aware of her reputation. It seems she comes to draw water when no other women were around at an unusual time of the day. They probably hate her for running around with men. The men of the town. Remember in verses 16 to 19, Jesus said, go call your husband and come here. And she answered, I have no husband. You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. He says, hey, you spoke right. You've had five husbands. That didn't do it for you in life. Now you have a guy you're living with. He exposes her. She's now living with a man. But this woman is aware of religious things of the patriarchs because we read in verse 19 and 20 that she tells him, you're a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. You Jews worship in Jerusalem. And so she's kind of aware of religious things and knows about the Jewish faith. A lot of people have religion, but they're not spiritual. And there's a difference. And she knows, she also knows the scripture. She knows one day the Messiah will come. She said that in verse 25. We went over that last week. I know that Messiah is coming, who's called the Christ, and he will tell us all things. So she's aware of things spiritual, religious. But then in verse 26, after she said, I know the Christ is coming, he says, I who speak to you am he. And as we shared last week, he is in italics. It's simply, I am. The name he gave Moses in the burning bush, Jehovah, his name, the becoming one, the I am. He says to this woman, this woman living in this situation she's in with a bad reputation, I who speak to you, I am he. From the text, as we will go on, it seems like she's a believer after a while. Once she understands who he is, we'll see that. But can you imagine the shame this woman had once Jesus introduced himself? Wow, I thought he was just a normal guy. Turns out he's the Messiah. And I'm living in this condition. Can you imagine? It is a shameful thing to be caught in your sin, to be exposed. But we all are sinners. And we were once exposed when God spoke to us and convicted us. Thank God that we repented and turned from our sin and accepted God's grace. When a person has an encounter with Jesus, One must not cover their sin. Well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm okay. One must not cover their sin, nor overlook it or turn away from the call of God to come. But be shamed. It's shameful when your sin is exposed. Know you're a sinner and repent and receive life in Jesus. He will accept you. He accepts all that come to him. He will not turn anyone away. Even as a Christian, one can backslide, turn from the Lord, and get carnal. One should repent and turn to the Lord. Know he will receive you. Don't live in that sin. Forgive you. Bless you. That's what he will do. Don't live in the shame or hide it or cover it. Be exposed and receive grace. And that's, of course, what the unrepentant sinner should do. Unbelievers, repent and turn. But even if a Christian, come back. I read this story this week concerning this woman. Foreigner, sinner, shame-filled, these labels continue today. The good news is that just as he saved the Samaritan woman from a shameful situation in the first century, he does the same today. I know a student who is faithfully serving the Lord, but due to bad circumstances, not of her own doing, her world came crashing down. She lost everything. She should have continued to seek the Lord, but the devastation threw her into a tailspin. She began living a sinful lifestyle. She wanted to return to the Lord, but felt unworthy, unclean, just like the Samaritan woman. One day, after nearly a year of distance from the Lord, she decided to meet Jesus in prayer. As she prayed, she tried to visually see him in her mind's eye. She tried to visualize that she and Jesus were meeting on the beach, and she wanted to ask him to forgive her. Here's how she described her prayer time with the Lord. As I was sitting there on the beach in my mind's eye, I didn't want him to come any closer. It was more comfortable with him far away. I think it was fear that was causing me not to want him to come closer. But I couldn't ask him to forgive me. I just kept thinking about all that I had done and my fear that I wouldn't be able to change. The turning point for me was when I began to visualize my sin. I could see all the things that I had done all around me. It was like it was surrounding me and putting up a shield, distancing me from him. He kept walking towards me, and I kept stepping away. I kept saying, "This is who I am. All these things, all this around me, that's me. I want your forgiveness, but only if you want to forgive me. This is who I am." I just kept thinking, I'm too far. If I'm too far gone, then I understand. He didn't say anything. Just stood there. I just stood there with my arms at my side. And Jesus started pushing away the things surrounding me one by one. He pushed each thing away until he was standing right in front of me. Finally, I said, "I'm so, so sorry." He put his hands on my shoulders and said, "I love you." I didn't feel any longer that I was the person surrounded by all my sin. I felt that it was just me, a girl standing there who is broken by all the things that have happened in my life. And with that, for the first time in a long time, I felt like I was really forgiven. I felt like I was sitting there with a clean slate. She was transformed from a fearful, unclean, shame-filled sinner to a welcome, forgiven, and loved child of the King. The good news is that our Lord loves to rescue those who feel the shame of being a sinner and gives them praise and honor in His glorious presence. He allows us to start anew with a clean slate. She was probably marveled when He said, "I am." And everything appeared before her, what she did. Just like this girl. But Jesus, that's who I am. That's who I am. Don't distance yourself. You don't even have to run. Just stand still and let Him come to you. And He'll forgive you. Accept Him. You see, we pick up the story at verse 27. At this point, His disciples came and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Sounds like these apostles at first were a bunch of pretty rough guys. They weren't too merciful and gracious. Jesus is speaking with this woman, and the disciples come along and marvel because He's talking with a woman. But they didn't dare ask Him why or what are you talking about. Speaking with a woman, why were they marveling? Well, Jewish law was that a rabbi, or what was an official title of master or teacher, must never hold a conversation with a woman alone. That was not kosher. Plus, she's a Samaritan and a sinner, and they weren't to have anything to do with them. Plus, women were not regarded very highly in this culture. You know, Jesus liberated women a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Maybe you're like this girl we read about. Your sin is just surrounding you. You can't seem to come to the Lord, or you want to keep at a distance. And we read as He approached her, she kept backing off and backing off. He knows who you are. He knows what you've done. Even as a Christian, if you're in that place where there's something separating you and God, go to Him. Accept His hand upon you and hear His voice. "I love you." And go forward with a new life. This woman was living with a man. She had five husbands. Not being able to have a real relationship. This woman who came to the well because she was physically thirsty had a deeper thirst. We went over that last week. She had the thirst, the thirst that all people have, a thirst for life. There's that thirst for life. And people try to find life in different things. She didn't find it in men or in whatever she was doing. She may be resigned to this life of a burden and heaviness and emptiness, going to get the water every day and carrying it back. And same thing day in and day out, nothing satisfying. This same woman, once having this encounter with Jesus, we read in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men. Did you pick up the fact that she left her water pot? She was thirsty. But what was more important to her once she found Him? Jesus, and to go tell others about Him. Forget the water. I found the water of life. You will never quench your thirst until you totally surrender to the Lord. Your search will end. Your life will change. You'll put down the water pot, the daily grind. Forget all about the physical thirst. She dropped it all and now was encouraged by Jesus after finding new life and excited and runs to the city to talk to the people about this Jesus, the Christ. Verse 29, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Hey, this guy knows me. And he knows you. And he knows all those that are listening that are not believers. He knows. He knows all the sin that's surrounding you and keeping you away from the Lord. He knows who you are. And he wants to make you a new person. He wants to forgive you. If you're a Christian, he wants that relationship back the way it should be. A love relationship. It's not too late. He knows you. Don't be ashamed to come to him. Run to him. Or at least let him touch you. And hear his voice that he loves you. Come see a man who knew me. All that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? This is a challenging question. Now, oh, could it be the Christ? It's going to someone say, hey, this just could be the Christ. I believe it. You better listen. Could be. Just like we tell people, this could be the sign of the times. We believe it, and we sort of say it as a question, encouraging others to check it out. Could very well be. We're in the last days. Hey, fellows, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is coming. Could he? This be him? She found him, and he found her. This woman was so thirsty in life, searching, always coming up short, wondering, like people do, what is life all about? Why am I here? Husband's failed me. I feel dead. I feel like I'm going nowhere, unfulfilled, thirsty, hungry, desiring spiritual enlightenment. I want to know what it's all about, what's afterlife. You know, she's thinking, I'm thirsty every day. I have to keep going, getting the water to fill my thirst. And this is just laboring every day. Is that all there is in life, just existing? You know, it's sort of like people today, no different then. The basic cry is, I want life. This isn't doing it. Well, if only I had this or that or that or that. That's what we say. We've all said that in the past. But you get this and that. And you say, why did I get this and that? It's not that good. Doesn't do it. Well, if only I had this husband or this wife. If only I had this child. If only I had this house. If only I had this job. And we can go on and on. But you know it's true. It doesn't do it. Why? Because contentment is in Jesus Christ. He's filling. We walk right over him at times looking to fulfill our desires inside when we have already what we need to have. When you have something good, learn to be content in it. Satisfied. No, there's nothing new. You notice she said what it says here, that she left her water pot, went into the city and said to the men. Why does it say just to the men? Maybe the women in town wanted nothing to do with her. Maybe she had affairs with a lot of these men. Maybe married to some of them. You know, women get jealous. They don't like other women around when they're looking at your husband or something, you know. Hey, no, don't talk to me. Maybe an outcast. Feel like you don't fit in. You know, I wonder if some of the men listening to her, even some of the men, were her ex-husbands or lovers. They're probably wondering, what to make out with this woman? What's going on here? She's excited. She's alive. Forgets about the water pot. She lays that down. She's been filled with something else more than water can give you. She's never going to thirst again. What an awful life to just exist and wait to die. We're Christians. Live today. And what you have right in front of you, the Lord is in it. Life is in Jesus. We live in a higher plane when we're content with Jesus and living there with him. He makes people alive. The thing is, we need to do what this woman did. She went from shame to sharing. She made her faith alive. She didn't lose excitement and joy. She immediately used it. We can get dull, bored, by not sharing, praying, studying, listening, growing. Our faith has to be our life. Jesus has to be our life. And then we're continually alive, not waiting for that or for that or for that to come. Then I will be happy and satisfied. It's right now. Isn't that awesome? It can be right now. I have Jesus. Maybe there's something in your life that makes you feel disconnected from Jesus, just like that story we read. Well, get connected. Be shamed. Repent. Turn. Get right with Jesus. Get rid of that in your life, whatever it is. Receive and share Jesus. That's life. Not just receiving him and sharing him, because we have a life to live here. And it needs to be about the Lord. Don't get so caught up with the other things in life, all the events going on with people. We serve the Lord. He's our leader. He's our God. Jesus said, follow me. Everyone has this hope, no matter what the circumstances of their life. Receive Jesus and share Jesus, new life. People need to hear there is hope. For the worst of sinners, the worst thing we can do is stay away from certain people and not share with them because they're not like us or they're horrible sinners. This girl was a horrible sinner and Jesus said, come. We're not here to share with believers. The saved are already saved. We're here to share with unbelievers, sinners, people that are lost, depressed, living a horrible lifestyle. Pray that God will allow you to touch those people or at least pray for them. People don't need to hear about the weather or sports or restaurants or what's closed or what's open. People don't need to know about that. I get so caught up in that stuff. Why? It's junk. I have the Lord. He will take care of me. Man won't take care of me. Man will let me down. Leaders will let me down. Jesus will never let you down. He said, if you seek me first and my righteousness, I will add all these things concerning life to you. That's quite a deal, isn't it? Focus on the Lord. Enjoy what you have. Don't be saying, well, I don't have very much. You have a lot. I have a lot. I can find things to complain about 23 hours and 59 minutes of the day. What I need to do is do what I do in that 1 minute. Okay, but there's the Lord. Let's pray before we go to bed. I need to make that my whole day. Okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm really blessed. I'm sorry for saying that or complaining. We're blessed. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible tells us, the gospel to share with others. We can at least live it out in front of them. Maybe they won't allow us to talk to them, but they can't deny our lifestyle and our love and our peace and our joy. But if we get caught up in the same conversations they do, we're in Satan's hands, wasting time. Jesus is about life. The depressed, the despondent, the ill, the suicidal, the shamed, the bored, the thirsty, the hungry. He's here for everyone. Be excited about him. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, in you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. All your sins, all my sins were washed away. Wow. That's a big deal, isn't it? Our sins are washed away. You know, a person can be religious but dead if they don't have the Lord. He's not a reality in their life. Matthew 23, please. Matthew 23, verse 27. Jesus speaking, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." He busted the religious people. He busts us and religious people today, full of dead man's bones. Jesus makes people alive and he satisfies the hunger and thirst. Maybe you feel dull of spirit or downright cold or a little hungry or thirsty for things. Maybe uneasy in life. Jesus satisfies. Keep your focus and eyes on the Lord. You know Jesus. It's satisfying to be a Christian, but be satisfied. Be content. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't look to the world and the things of the world for fulfillment. That's a danger when things go bad in our life or circumstances get difficult. We have a tendency sometimes to look to the world. Oh, well, then maybe I'll look to that and find relief. Maybe this will do it or that will do it. I find you waste a lot of money when you look to the world to solve a spiritual problem. You think that's going to do it or that's going to do it or that's going to do it. Not going to do it. I found wherever I go, there I am. That's the problem. I could move 1,000 times. I could take 1,000,000 vacations, but wherever I go, there I am. I better change if I'm discontented. Save myself a lot of money. Jesus said, "I will take care of you. Your thirst will be filled with me." We need to be in fellowship, Bible study, reading God's love letter to us, drinking from the fountain of living water. It's living water. Just keeps fresh and keeps you fresh, you and I fresh, and it's overflowing. It's nourishing. Be in prayer and don't stray from Jesus. When things get bad or difficult, don't count on the world to comfort you. It won't. It won't. Don't stray from Jesus. Get back to your first love. Don't be too ashamed to go back to Jesus. Think about that first date with Jesus. The first real date with Jesus. There's always that day. You say, "Oh man, I believe." And the world was just glorious because nothing else mattered but the Lord. I found Jesus, I'm saved, and I want to tell other people about it. I'm just happy. That was your first date. Return to your first love, your first date. He became all you needed. He still is all you needed. So this woman shared Jesus. She spoke with him, dropped what she was doing, went out to tell other people. You know, now we know why it said in verse 4, John 4, 4, Jesus said, "I must." He needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go there. Why? Because there was a thirsty woman there that needed help. And he says, "I'm going to go meet her." She was no doubt weary of life. He lightened her load. And verse 29, she went to the men and said, "Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They just could be him. Come check him out. She went from shame to sharing because of one man, Jesus Christ. And you know what? Remember, she had 5 husbands? She finally met her final husband. She's now part of the bride of Christ. Doesn't need any more husbands. She found her husband. And they went out of the city and came to him. It worked. They believed. They said, let's go see. And they came out of the city and went to see Jesus. That's the best we can do. Share and leave it up to that person to come or not come. But we can pray for them. Now we're going to have a time of communion, celebrating communion, because it's the first Sunday of the month. So I'd like you all to turn to 1 Corinthians 11, please. First Corinthians 11, verse 23. As we prepare to take communion, it speaks of the Last Supper, which we're remembering when the new covenant came in. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to partake of communion, the cup and the bread, a symbol of your body and blood. We thank you that grace entered in the new covenant, and we are now forgiven of all our sin, we who believe. And if you are a believer, please partake with us.